Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Kind of a strange vibe to this Tennessee Florida game. I don't know. Maybe you've got a different sense in Gainesville as we sit here in Nashville, but not a lot of buildup. And I know it's because neither team is very good. What is the vibe in Gainesville this week?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the same. You know, obviously with Florida having that loss to Kentucky already, I would say the mood's a little bit dampened in town. And, you know, certainly I think we're seeing that kind of play out with both fan bases already being 2-1 and maybe a little skeptical about the future.
Was the reaction from the Florida fan base in the days after that Kentucky loss one of shock, anger? What was it?
You know, I think Florida fans went into the season with a lot of cautious optimism. I think there was kind of a general feeling, you know, that Florida had some real talent at the skill position. And that, you know, maybe a guy like Dan Mullen coming in could really start to turn things around offensively, and that would start to fix everything. I think after that game, you saw pretty clearly that there were bigger issues at Florida than just quarterback or just offensive line. This roster is in pretty serious need of a rebuild across the board.
What's the patience level with Felipe Franks? Yeah. I've read a lot of Mullen's comments, and he's saying all the right things. Like, hey, man, it's just three games. You got to give him a chance.
Well, I think he's a lot more patient than the fans are. You know, the fans have seen him for, you know, something like 14, 15 games now, and they're just seeing a lot of the same issues. You know, he's slow through his reads. He can pull things into coverage. But, you know, for Dan Mullen, I think he's in a position where I don't know that he has anybody better. And so you almost have to stick with Franks and try to rebuild his confidence. And I think that's kind of what you've seen. You know, he's told him, hey, you don't have a short leash. Just go out there and make some throws, and we'll work as best we can kind of trying to clean things up.
Could you see a scenario where Felipe's not playing well against Tennessee and they do make the move?
I really don't. You know, I just do not get that sense from Dan Mullen that he is all that close to pulling the trigger on another guy. I just don't think that they really feel like freshman Emory Jones is ready right now. And I don't know that they're going to get kind of the leadership that they need out of Kyle Trask. So I think it's Frank's job to go, you know, in Knoxville.
There's some talent on the offensive side of the ball. Certainly a guy that stands out for people around here is Van Jefferson, who, you know, people got to see in high school and briefly at Ole Miss and now, you know, catching passes in Florida.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think Florida really needs to try to get more involved. You know, I think that's part of the frustration in the first couple of weeks for a lot of fans is that, you know, they talk about having all these playmakers, but yet they're giving up the carries, you know, in the backfield and the reception between so many guys right now that it's really made it tough for guys like Van Jefferson to stand out. So I'd be curious to see whether or not that's Dan Mullen trying to feel what else he has on his roster and kind of feel out his depth going into SEC play. And now we start to see those, you know, narrow down a little bit more, or if that's just kind of, you know, going to be how it is going forward.
Thomas Goldkamp with us from 24/7 Sports.
Swain has been a good story, too, at the receiving position.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that I think has always been pretty explosive. But maybe just hadn't gotten a real chance. You know, given what he's done at punt return, you kind of scratch your head and wonder why he wasn't back there before.
Right.
You know, he's shown a lot of explosiveness, very shifty guy. And I think more than anything, what he does well at that spot is he's really good at reading his blocks, which is something not a lot of guys get. He's just kind of got that natural feel for it.
It's interesting. I saw a quote from Mullen, and somebody on the media down there, maybe one person, had asked him, you know, hey, did you watch the game from last year? He said, well, we're new and they're new. It's different staffs. I watched the last play, but why watch it, basically, is what he said.
Yeah, he's been pretty blunt from day one since he got here that he's not really interested in watching anything that Florida did before. Ooh. And I can tell you, having seen it myself, that's probably a good move.
So what do you anticipate, like, game plan-wise, offensively for Florida? You know, Tennessee fans listening, I'm sure, are curious.
Yeah, you know, I think Florida has been a little bit vanilla the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I would expect to see more misdirection-type stuff mixed in. You know, Kadarius Toney's a guy that I think he's averaging close to 10 yards a touch, and it looks just extremely explosive every time he's touched it, but he's only touching it 3 or 4 times a game. I think he's a guy that suddenly starts to see a big increase in usage, jet sweeps, that kind of thing, maybe even a pass off of a Wildcat-type look. But for the most part, Florida's going to try to establish the ground game, and then work from there. They haven't been great at it so far, so you know, we'll kind of see, but the Bev, I think, is where they want to start.
Tennessee, obviously, their issue, well, their main issue, there are many. offensive line, certainly. Is Florida going to be able to get after the quarterback?
I don't know. I think it's funny how similar these teams are. I mean, you start talking about it, you know, quarterback, offensive line, they really do have a lot of the same issues. Florida's defensive line wasn't great in the first 2 weeks at all in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. Now, they did a lot better last week. You start to look at that Colorado State offensive line, man, it was pretty much all underclassmen and undersized guys. So I don't know how much that's going to carry over. I think that's definitely going to be one of the keys to the game. You know, Florida's got to be able to pressure Garantano a little bit and try to get him a little bit off rhythm.
The last four of these games have been close. This is a stat I saw yesterday, 10 points or less. Like you've said, the teams are kind of similar. This really doesn't seem like a game, right, that one team's going to pull away from each other or the other?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing to me is I'm not sure either team is good enough to pull away from the other. You know what I mean? Like, even if there's a big play and somebody scores a touchdown, like, are they going to be able to follow that up without making a mistake on the next drive? I mean, I hate to say that, but that's really, I mean, that's kind of been the story for Florida. It's like they'll put something together and then, you know, the next drive they'll go right back to having some, you know, breakdown in communication. I think special teams are going to be big in this one. You know, Florida's been pretty good blocking punts, blocking kicks. That's going to be something to keep an eye on, I think. And then, obviously, in a game like this, you know, turnovers become pretty huge.
Yep, sure. So how do you see this playing out, Thomas?
Well, you know, both teams have so many question marks, and, you know, maybe it's proximity bias, me being around Florida more so than Tennessee, but I just think Florida has one too many question marks. I think, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet, but the safeties are a real concern. I think if Tennessee is able to establish that ground game, and I would be willing to bet they have some success doing that, I think they're going to be able to take some play-action shots and maybe make Florida pay a good bit.
This is a discussion we've had over and over. We'll probably have it again Monday or Friday or even today. Who do you think is the second-best team in the East?
Oof, that's a good question. I don't know. I might ask, I don't know, Missouri, South Carolina, one of those two probably.
All right, it sounds like you're going Tennessee in this.
Yeah, I actually picked Tennessee to win 27-24.
Is that going over well in Gainesville?
Not particularly.
Hey, Thomas, man, we enjoy reading your work, brother. Appreciate the time, and good luck up there.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, yes, sir. Thomas Goldkamp, if you need him on Twitter, at Thomas Goldkamp, and camp is a K, so Thomas Goldkamp with a K. 27-24, Tennessee, he said.
He just seems, I mean, he's on the beat. He's there every day. This is a guy who's seen what they're doing right now and obviously doesn't have much confidence.
But that's why I think, like, from a Tennessee perspective, people up here and in Knoxville, they see Tennessee and their flaws. And so you, this is such a weird game, man. I mean, who knows? Maybe Florida wins 31-0. Maybe Tennessee wins 38-3. I don't know. But my gut is something really ugly, like 15-13.
And you watch it now, somebody's going to win it 42-3. Because we're all convinced it's going to be close and they're well matched. And he basically said the same thing. What was his? I feel like if somebody makes a big play, they'll mess it up on the next series.
And their flaws are similar. And I mean, it's such a weird Tennessee Florida game. But
people want to see meaningful games. That guy sounded just beat down.
Yeah.